You are listening to The Zone with Jason Anderson, presented by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, we continue right here on ESPN 680, 105.7, hanging out at Radio Row, UBS Jobs Baptist Health Sports Medicine, fueled by Kroger and delivered by Papa John's. Our sponsors helping us out here to make sure we can bring you all the coverage down here in or up here in Minneapolis. Joining us now, Jim Jackson, one of our favorite interviews to get a chance to talk to each and every year at Radio Row.
What's up, man? How are you, sir?
I'm
good, man. Minnesota. No snow on the ground, so I think we're ahead of the game.
It's funny. One of our friends was driving up yesterday, and I got here a few hours before they did because I flew. Uh-huh. And they're like, "So how bad is the snow there?" I was like, there is no snow.
No.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I was on the train from the airport to the hotel, and there was a guy on the phone that was talking about how badly it snowed the day before. And I'm like, "There's nothing on the ground here. If I didn't know that it snowed, it'd feel like it's just a
Midwest, you know, man. One day it could be sunny, next day it could be snowing, then raining now." You get 60 degrees, so it's all right.
You spent a number of years in the Midwest in your life, in Ohio and all of that.
So I get it. Trust me.
You know about all that.
Trust me, I get it.
Absolutely. How are you?
Great, man.
I've said this for a while about you, that every time you show up, I'm like, I think he could probably go get double digits in a game still. Get 10. Like, you could sneak five baskets in a game. The problem is
I got to run down the other end of the court. See, that's the issue. If I'm on one end, like the offensive end, I'm fine.
Okay.
It's on the other end where I'm going to get exploited.
Okay.
You know, and have some issues.
But if you played a half-court game against all NBA players, you think you could, 48 minutes, half-court.
I would die.
But you still die?
I'm in cigar shape right now, in golf shape.
Very good. Well, you know, not triple digits in golf.
No, what do you shoot
right now? How often do you play?
I got a chance to play. I was doing a Golden State game on Tuesday, so I got a chance to play Monday and Tuesday. Played well, so
good for you.
I know.
Did you play much golf when you played in the league?
Yeah. Okay. Later in my career, I started to play a lot. Well, I used to be a caddy when I was growing up in Toledo, Ohio. But I just was doing it for the money. I didn't want to play.
Yeah.
At that time, I thought it was like a soft sport. So I was like, I'm not playing golf.
When you were caddying, did you get used to or good at like reading greens and things like that?
So when you
picked it up, you probably had an advantage over.
Well, I did. I mean, here's the thing. At that time when I was caddying, I was 15 years old. That's how you made your money, you know, to be able to assist, you know, your golfer, especially if they didn't play the course before, on the best way to utilize your strength and putting. So I picked it up really quick. And I used to go out twice a day because, that's two checks. But then when I got older and I understood the mindset behind golf, just fell in love with it.
Yeah, very good. Jim Jackson is our guest. It seemed like you fall in love with broadcasting too.
No,
like you seem like you're a natural.
I've been blessed. This is my 12th year. Going back to 2007, we started Big Ten. Was able now to crack through and do a Turner this year with the first and second round.
Yeah.
I did the first four in Dayton last week in Anaheim with Westwood One. So it's been a blast, man. It's this time of year is special for a lot of people and players. I got a chance to go through it as a player.
Yeah.
But then I got a chance to witness it and go through it with my son when he was at Wisconsin. And so I got three areas, a player, a father, but then also someone who works in the business.
Can you rank those?
Yeah, watching my son go through it was first.
I was going to say, I would guess the son would be first.
Unbelievable.
Playing second and then broadcasting?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jim Jackson is our guest. You were out in Anaheim. What do you think of this Texas Tech team and Chris Beard and what he's done? And Culver, who has just played a phenomenal tournament.
Well, I got a chance. I had him in Tulsa, the first and second round, too. So I had him four games, bro. Unbelievable. And
so
I had him
following you. Yeah,
exactly. But I had Chris Beard last year in Dallas in the first round. So to watch the evolution of what he's been able to do there. And again, you know, Tubby was there and Bob Knight was there, but they kind of laid the groundwork. But what Chris Beard was able to learn from, especially coaching under Bobby, is the discipline system, but also not being stringent, allowing guys to kind of be who they are. But one thing I say about this team, from Culver to Mooney to
Moretti
Odiasi, they all buy in defensively. And the reason why they do that, because they're connected off the court. This is a team where Chris Beard looks at it. Everything we do together. You know, he'll do some stuff like, hey, guys, let's go squat the movie night.
Yeah.
And one of the players is like, coach, we did that last night already. You know, but that's why they're so collectively connected and they're really good defensively, is because that's genuine. That's who they are on and off the court. And when you can do that, that's when you buy in. And when your best players buy in, everybody else kind of falls in line, and that's what makes your defense so special.
You've been around coaches a lot in your career, mm-hmm. playing and then being around them, and even in the NBA. Is there a certain sort of characteristic or something that you see in coaches? You're like, okay, this guy can be special. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. Chris Beard was good at, Arkansas State.
Yeah.
And, you know, UNLV made the right hire. Yeah. Clearly, it just didn't work out for him because Tubby went to Memphis. And now 3 years later, he's in an Elite Eight and then a Final Four. So, clearly, you know, something he's a guy. There, right? There's something there. Yeah. Is there anything that you can look at in your career
over
You
know
what
it is? Here it is. It's with players. Players want to be taught and coached. But it has to be genuine coming from the coach. Because if you're just yelling just to yell, guys are tuning you out, just like having kids. I mean, seriously, if you're not really doing it for a purpose more than just to yell, then your kids go tune you out. The same thing with coaching. In every situation, not the same. Just because Chris Beard was successful somewhere else, that doesn't mean it was transferable to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
You know, but because of who he is as a person and understanding how to communicate on an individual basis with each of his young men, that's so important. Because the way I talk to Moretti, that's the same way I talk to Culver or to talk to somebody else, okay? I got to have a sense and feel of that.
Yeah.
You know, but still I hold everybody accountable. But that unique style like Tom Izzo, he can get into your face, but players know the bottom line is all about making you a better basketball player, end of the day, a better young man. And when you have that really good combination, that unique skill set of how to communicate with a player, a young man, then they buy in a lot more. And I think Chris Beard has that.
Jim Jackson is our guest. How different is the coaching between college and then in the NBA?
Oh, it's different. I mean, coaching.
You don't see many Izzo interactions and
well, you don't have to
because in the NBA.
Well, in NBA, you're a professional. So you're expected to do your job, okay? This is what we're paying you for. This is what you're supposed to do. I don't have to tell you what time you got to be here. Here's the game plan. It's what you got to do. So I hold you to a different set of standards as a pro. In college, you still have to mature. These are young men that parents are kind of saying, okay, help grow not only as a basketball player but as a young man under your tutelage. So you're constantly more teaching and on them and talking to them. That's a whole different dynamic. So I say with coaches, a lot of times, 85% of the things they do is off the court. Not on the court.
Yeah.
Because you still have young men that are trying to figure out who in the hell they are, you know, at 18, 19 years old.
What was the transition? How quickly in the NBA did you pick that up?
Well, I was fortunate because I was in school for three years. So I was 22 at the time, a little bit older. And throughout my life, I grew up around Ron Harper, Charles Oakley, Dennis Hopson, guys like that, guys that were older than me that played in the league. Yeah. So I had a different level of maturity ever since I was, 14, 15 years old. But people can tell you what the transition is, but until you go through it, I still had my bumps. I still had to learn. It was different. But because I did have some teaching and I had some mentors before that kind of paved the way for me, my transition was a little bit smoother than maybe some other people.
How different do you think your career would be if you had the talent to come right out of high school as an 18, 19-year-old as opposed to 22 getting into the league?
Well, if I played today, it would be different just because the game is different. Mm-hmm. My game would be totally different. My mentality would be different. Yeah. The league is a lot younger. Back then, the league was older. Sean Kemp did it when he came out of high school, but it was, Kenny Anderson left after his sophomore year.
Yeah.
Rarely did you see guys kind of leave a little bit early. But it's just a different time, and I would be a totally different player coming into today's game because the way you're taught to play is more perimeter-oriented, spread out, you shoot the three. I was more of a post-up guard, put it on the deck. So that's a tougher question to answer just because the times are different.
What about maturity, though, real quick? I mean, maturity difference, would you
well,
be?
Well, I would probably end up growing up different. Yeah. Than what I did in the 80s, in the 70s. You see what I'm saying? That's a whole – all that goes into the same thing because how I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and is different than how you grew up now with technology.
Yeah, it's true.
I would love to say I'd be more mature, but I don't know.
Jim Jackson, our guest, Final Four time for you. Four quick questions. Just tell me the first thing that pops in your head. Thad Matta makes a Final Four.
What?
Thad Matta makes a Final Four. Or, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm
sorry. That is total Freudian slip. Absolutely,
say, yeah, he did make it, though, back in 07.
total Freudian slip there. I'm thinking about Thad Matta. Okay. But you know who I'm talking about. Makes a Final Four. Ohio State's head coach right now.
Chris Holtman.
Good night,
I think
man.
He will.
Good night. Well, Thad Matta did make a Final Four, so we're going to put yes. We both think he made a Final Four. Best round of golf you've ever shot.
76.
76. Who's your favorite coach that you played for?
Pat Riley.
And who wins this weekend?
Michigan State.
Michigan State. Big Ten guy. Jim Jackson joining us. Jim, thank you, sir. I appreciate
you,
man.
You got it,
bro. All right, there's Jim Jackson on ESPN 680 105.7 as we are hanging out here at the Final Four. Chris Holtmann, good night, man. I should have changed that. I should have just changed it and said, Thad Mata makes another Final Four. That's what I was talking about. Duh. Oh, man. I even wrote down Thad Mata as we were talking. Good night, man. All right, we will continue rolling along. I'll see if I can get the other coaches right. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? As we are hanging out here at the Final Four Radio Row, Westwood One, as we're hanging out here, they certainly do a great job, and we appreciate them and some of their sponsors, one of those being Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness and the official ladder of professional contractors everywhere. Werner, number one in ladders, available locally at Ram Tool and Supply. We will continue with more Zone. We are rolling along. We're hanging out here in Minneapolis. It is the Final Four. Our coverage, as it has been throughout today and will continue to be tomorrow as well, it is presented by UPS Jobs Baptist Health Sports Medicine, fueled by Kroger and delivered by Papa John's. And don't forget, games coming up this weekend. Saturday, 3:30 pregame coming our way from Westwood One. Exclusive live play-by-play of the NCAA tournament presented by Mattress and More, Right Implement, Dave and Buster's, UPS Jobs, FFO Home, delivered by Papa John's and fueled by Kroger. We continue with more Zone right after this. It's ESPN 680 105.7.
You are listening to the Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at UPSJobs.com. That's UPSJobs.com.